104.5 The Zone, 9:34 the time. This is the Wake Up Zone. Coach Matthews and Billy the Legend. Good stuff. We welcome in from Titans Radio, the main man, the executive producer, Rhett Bryan. What's going on?
How are you, gentlemen?
We're good.
Very good.
I feel like it's been, 2 months since the season's been over.
It's been a little bit.
Yeah.
It goes by pretty fast, though.
You were in here yesterday doing some neat stuff with Brett Kern. Tell us a little more about what he had going on there.
You know, Brett Kern, for those of you listening that may not know this, if football didn't work out for him, he was going to go into meteorology. He really loves the weather, and he continues to be able to monitor it continuously because it directly affects what he does as the punter for the Titans.
Right.
And so he was invited through the Weather Channel to be on a podcast that they call the Weather Geeks. And so we were able to hook that up in Titans Radio studio, and a guy from Atlanta called, and we captured his part of it on this end and then sent it to the Weather Channel, and did about 40 minutes with the guy, and he held his own just fine. He was really good talking about the weather and just how it affects what they do and what he does in relation to being the holder for Ryan Succop and what they look at forecast-wise and just the compression of the ball and all that stuff.
So does he have a T-shirt? I heart Jim Cantore.
He just might have one of those. Yeah. Absolutely. And Mike Seidel, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're the staff meteorologist for Titans Radio, though, right?
I love the weather. Yeah. I've been fascinated with the weather since I was a little kid. And, I'm constantly checking the forecast.
See, I mourn the retirement of Janetta Jones. One of the original Weather Channel.
Cheryl Lemke.
Yeah, Cheryl Lemke. I forgot about her, too. That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, what's in the forecast for this coordinator search for the Titans?
That's something that I want to clear the air. There are a lot of people and social media that are just beside themselves because there's nothing coming out of St. Thomas Sports Park. Paul Kuharsky's been one of the very few guys that has kind of been digging on this and reporting on these things. But here's the thing. Not every search is public. And just because you don't hear anything coming out that, that's usually released by the agents. Look, just because that's not happening, it doesn't mean they're not in the middle of a search. And from what I understand, they are, the search is progressing nicely. And, I think if they stay in-house with this thing, one of the first things when the announcement was made that Matt LaFleur was going to Green Bay. In fact, Coach Dave McGinnis called me that afternoon, and we were like, well, if they went in-house, who would they go? We talked about Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach, but we also talked about Arthur Smith, the tight ends coach. And Arthur has been in that building for almost a decade, and he's well-respected, well-liked. And he's a smart guy, offensive mind. And you think about what he did as the tight ends coach in 2018 with the Titans, because he lost his best weapon in Delanie Walker in week one in that Miami game that took 3 years and 12 days. And then he had to, put Jonnu Smith in there. And Jonnu, he wasn't ready at that point. But he got him ready, and Jonnu started playing really well, and then he lost Jonnu. So you look at the end of the year, he's got Anthony Firkser. He's got Michael Pruitt making plays in this thing. So, you're talking about making some progress with what you have to work with. And like I said, he's well-respected in that building, well-liked. Now, outside of the building, I don't know who they're talking to. I mean, you hear names thrown around, and guys are taking OC jobs every day that you see reported. Well, I think we'll know this pretty soon, though. Yeah.
The interesting thing was that this staff was hired, this coach was hired, with the idea to maximize Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder if the goals have changed because of the emergence of, and obviously you want Marcus playing better, but, and I know they want continuity, but how much has changed now since Derrick Henry had had that great finish?
Oh, I think had Matt LaFleur stayed, he was going to have to retool at least a portion of that playbook because Derrick Henry did so well in the last 6 weeks of the season. I don't know what percentage of the pie that is, but I think it's certainly a consideration because you know that you have a weapon in the guy. and that you can utilize that. And, you know, I'm not saying they're going back to Mike Mularkey football 2 years ago, but yeah, I think there's a balance somewhere in there.
Man, what did you think about LaFleur getting the Green Bay job? Historical big.
I was as surprised as you guys for one reason, just because the Titans offense did not have a spectacular year. I thought, you know, with the numbers that in some places regressed a little bit, and, you know, there's injuries and things that you can tag onto that. But I thought that they'd have him for another year with the thought in mind that if things went really well with the offense in Marcus in 2018, that he'd be a one and done and gone. Mm-hmm. But we see the trend. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay, and they think they got their guy, and I wish him nothing but the best. He's got Aaron Rodgers to work with, and I think that's a pretty doggone good place to start.
Is that a bad thing, or is that a good thing that owners are looking at trends like that? And in reality, there's only going to be one Sean McVay.
That's true. And I think you just answered your own question. I think we will see in the long run who these guys, who pans out and who doesn't. I mean, that's not to say that none of them will have success. I wonder about Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona more than I do Matt LaFleur in Green Bay.
But, oh, man.
Anyway.
I probably would think a little bit different on that Cliff Kingsbury. At least he's been a head coach, so you know what he can and cannot
sure.
do. Just not in the NFL.
Right.
I guess I have to beat you to the punch. I feel like I beat Mark because I've been looking at all the mock drafts already.
Okay.
I'm ahead of the curve
right
here, man. And the majority of what I've seen so far, there's two guys that keep coming up pretty consistently. One of them's A.J. Brown. This is for the first round, actually. Wide receiver from Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
And then the edge rusher from Florida State. I don't know much about him. Brian Burns.
I've heard those names, and I'm learning them just like you are, because now it's the offseason, and we're starting to dig into
this. If you had
to
list the priority, not of players, but positions, if you wanted to, let's say, have a draft today, which changes all the time, what are the areas of importance for the Tennessee Titans?
For the Titans, I would look at interior defensive line.
In this order.
Yeah, and I'd say so, right there, either one of these could be one or two, flip-flopping either way you want them. But interior defensive line, outside linebacker, pass rusher, absolutely. I think you need another wide receiver. And I think you need to look at the interior of the offensive line at guard or center, because you got Ben Jones going into the last year of his contract, and I think much has been made about the guards in this thing. So I think you look at those, and you look at the success that the Indianapolis Colts had this year once they solidified and put Quentin Nelson at left guard right there, how well that worked.
Rhett, as we finish up our visit with you, give us a couple more priorities you're looking at for the offseason in terms of personnel for this team.
You know, I'm looking at free agents, and a lot of times those guys are overpriced, but there's a guy, and I'll credit Mickey Ryan for this to kind of put him on my radar, and I'd forgotten about him, but there's a guy that's going to be a free agent in Baltimore, Za'Darius Smith. He played for Dean Pease because Dean Pease came from there. He's a fourth-year man out of Kentucky. He was a JUCO transfer. But anyway, that day that the Baltimore Ravens just beat the you-know-what out of the Titans, he had three of those 11 quarterback sacks. He had 8.5 for the year. He's a 6'4", 272 pass rusher, outside linebacker. Mm. And he's getting on the radar as one of the more underrated free agents. I'm going to look more into his numbers and look at some film on him. But he's somebody I'm kind of dialing in on that I think's interesting.
How interesting, too, is the whole safety dynamic here with Cyprian and Vaccaro?
Listen, I think if you look at the list of free agents the Titans have of their own, I think Vaccaro's got to be one of the top priorities that you re-sign. The guy came in here on a minimum one-year deal and worked his rear end off. He gelled very quickly with that secondary. They loved that guy, and he worked his rear end off, and he played well. I mean, you could see why he was a first-round pick 5 years ago with New Orleans Saints. I think you got to re-sign that guy. Absolutely.
Real quick, give us some things coming up with Titans Radio.
Just getting ready for NFL draft. I'm starting to figure out what we're going to look like with our programming on that and working towards that, because that's going to be the big deal this spring with it being right here.
Maybe right off the stage, right? Like right off the main stage.
Oh, yeah, right there. You know, we'll have the commissioner on between each pick to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah,
it'll be great.
Rhett, great to see you, man.
All right,
thank
guys.
You. All right, Rhett. From Titans Radio, the executive producer, Rhett Bryan, joining us here on the Wake Up Zone. 9:44, some final thoughts from Mark and Blaine and me from tonight's Preds Wild matchup, and Morgan, for that matter. And we'll see
how we think it's going to go down. Now, who are they playing? Jets, not
Jets,
Wild.
Not Wild.
Well, you know, one of those teams.
It'll be a Wild game, though.
Right, right.
Oh, no, not the Jets.
Wake up, so coming right back. First, Mark, in a word about C Spire.
That's right. The C Spire tech movement is taking over the region because the Southeast and the Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So C Spire is investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and the Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science, so C Spire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They've also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, C Spire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. The future is out there, and the C Spire tech movement is leading the way. Join the movement at cspire.com/tech MVMT.